Chapter 3. The Prelude to the Seals. Believe it or not, the discussion of the seal judgments does not begin in Revelation chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the breaking of the seals, but the events surrounding the opening of the seals actually begin in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. This is a very important distinction to make because it answers some highly important questions that some people seem to get confused over concerning the events that take place on the earth after the seals are opened up, as well as who is left behind on earth to face Daniel's 70th week, the 7-year tribulation. And the first question that gets answered with the context of the opening of the seals in Revelation chapters 4 and 5 is the location of the church. As was previously mentioned, the church escapes Daniel's 70th week, the 7-year tribulation, via the rapture of the church, which takes place prior to the opening of the seals. This event is verified when you take a look at Revelation chapter 4, which contextually leads into Revelation chapter 5, where you see the beginning of the events surrounding the opening of the seals. These events take place in heaven, the very throne room of God, and wonder of wonders, just who happens to already be there in heaven? The church. You see this contextually in a couple of different ways. First of all, it just so happens that the word church is mentioned repeatedly in Revelation chapters 1-3, but it is never mentioned as being on the earth in Revelation chapters 6-18, the chapters that deal with the 7-year tribulation period. Is this by chance? I think not. The word church is absent because the church is absent. They left at the rapture prior to the 7-year tribulation. Second, the very next thing we do see following Revelation chapter 3, the last mentioning of the church on earth until they return with Jesus at his second coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation, is the church being mentioned in heaven in Revelation chapters 4-5. They are seen as the 24 elders surrounding the very throne of God.
Revelation 4:4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Revelation 4:10-11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
They are also mentioned in Revelation chapters 5, 7, 11, and 14, and in all occurrences, they are clearly located in heaven. For proof of these 24 elders clearly being one and the same as the church, one only needs to look at the contextual evidence. Observe such things as
the timing of the 24 elders, the location of the 24 elders, the crowns of the 24 elders, the title of the 24 elders, the number of the 24 elders, the position of the 24 elders, the distinction of the 24 elders, the redemption of the 24 elders, the clothing of the 24 elders.
All of these indicators clearly present the 24 elders as being the church in heaven, not Israel, the angels, or any other fanciful theory that some people have come up with. Biblical context demands it to be the church. Again, for an exhaustive, detailed discussion of the identity of the 24 elders, please see our previous study, The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived. But as you can see, Revelation chapters 4-5, the chapters that deal with the events surrounding the opening of the seals, actually reveal the location of the church. They are no longer on earth, but they're in heaven as the 24 elders, surrounding the actual throne room of God. Therefore, since the church is already enjoying and worshiping Jesus in heaven as the 24 elders, excited that the seals are about to be opened, there's no way you can place them within the horrible events of the 7-year tribulation that begin after the opening of the seals. The church is already seen in heaven before the 7-year tribulation begins with the opening of the seals. The second question that gets answered with the context of the opening of the seals in Revelation chapters 4 and 5 is the originator of the wrath. According to these chapters, the wrath that is to be poured out on the planet during the 7-year tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, is not coming from man, and it's certainly not coming from Satan, as some would say. Rather, it's coming from God himself, and it's literally a time when he, the creator of the universe, is going to war with our wicked and rebellious planet. One man puts it this way.
One of the most breathtaking passages on the second coming is Revelation 5. This looks at the second coming from heaven's vantage point.
Here we meet the conqueror of the world as he is about to come to take over the universe, to redeem it, to destroy the wicked, and to establish and bless his people.
The scene as chapter 5 opens is the same as chapter 4. The scene is heaven, and in the center of the scene is the throne of God, God on his throne being worshipped and shining forth in all his glory. Chapter 4 and Chapter 5 of Revelation anticipate the seven-year tribulation that breaks forth in Chapter 6. Chapter 6 to 19 is the record of the exploding judgment of God in the world, His judgment poured out on the earth.
But what you have in 4 and 5 is a glimpse into heaven as the divine war machine begins to move, the end of which will be the establishment of the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ in His great return as described in Revelation chapter 19.
There was this whole matter of overcoming sin, overcoming Satan, overcoming demons, overcoming death, overcoming hell that had to take place. As Jesus moved toward the cross, in John 12:31 He said, "Now judgment is upon this world, now the ruler of this world shall be cast out."
He knew when He went to the cross that He was starting what He would finish someday in the future. "I'm going into combat with Satan and I will win."
And that all begins here in Revelation chapter 5. The scene is being set for God's wrath to be poured out on the planet. He is going to war with the planet and its ungodly inhabitants. God is the originator of all this. The ultimate consummation of the full victory of Christ on the cross is now being put into play. All of heaven, including the church as the 24 elders, is excited and bursting out in praise over this climactic event. And it all begins with the opening of the seals. Now, here's the problem. Even though this is absolutely clear in the context surrounding the events regarding the opening of the seals in Revelation chapter 5, that God is the originator of this wrath to come, and that the church is in heaven celebrating this event, some people will still make two fatal errors. 1, they say that the church is still on earth, and 2, that this wrath is not really all God's wrath. Let's deal with the first fatal error, that the church is on earth during this time of God's wrath. For the life of me, I don't know how people can make this erroneous statement when the Bible clearly reveals that the church is not appointed unto God's wrath, period. I didn't say that, He did.
Romans 5:8-11. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-11. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
So, as you can see, the Bible clearly and emphatically declares that the church is saved from, rescued from, and not appointed unto God's wrath, which includes His wrath being poured out during the seven-year tribulation, which begins with the opening of the seals. So how can you say that the church will be on earth during this time when God pours out His wrath? Answer: they can't. This is why they are already seen in heaven as the 24 elders who are praising God along with the rest of heaven over these events.
Revelation 5:11-12. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb, who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise."
Now let's turn to the second fatal error that people make with Revelation chapter 5, the events surrounding the opening of the seals, and that is that this wrath is not all from God. Believe it or not, there are those who will still try to dance around this biblical truth that the church will never experience God's wrath in the seven-year tribulation by saying that not all of the seven-year tribulation is God's wrath. That's how they still try to squeeze the church into this time frame, God's wrath in the seven-year tribulation, to seemingly not create a contradiction in Scripture with the above texts that say the church is not appointed into God's wrath. What they do is, they say that only part of the seven-year tribulation is God's wrath. But once again, that's not what the Bible says. Once the first seal opens up at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, God's wrath continues non-stop for the next 7 years.
Revelation 6:16-17. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?
Note. Even though the word wrath is not found in Revelation until 6:16-17, the famine, sword, pestilence, and wild beasts in the first four seal judgments are often associated with God's wrath in other places in the Bible. See Jeremiah 14:12, 15-2, 24:10, 29:17, Ezekiel 5:12, 17, 14:21. Also, the verb has come doesn't even mean the wrath started just then.
It's in the Greek aorist tense, which speaks of a past event.
This means the wrath has already been going on and these people in this text are just now acknowledging it.
Revelation 11:18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. Revelation 14:10. He, too, will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. Revelation 14:19. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. Revelation 15:1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last, because with them God's wrath is completed. Revelation 15:7. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives for ever and ever. Revelation 16:1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Revelation 16:19. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath.
So, as you can see, the Bible emphatically declares that God's wrath is going to be poured out during the entire seven-year tribulation, not some of it, as some would have you and I believe. Again, this is why the church is seen already in heaven removed from the entire seven-year tribulation. We have to be. Why? Because we are saved from, rescued from, and not appointed unto God's wrath, which includes his wrath being poured out during the seven-year tribulation, which begins with the opening of the first seal. Once that first seal opens up, God's wrath is coming forth for the next 7 years non-stop, and thus the church cannot be there. How do we know? Because the first seal is the first judgment of many to come in a unified sealed scroll that contains all of God's wrath as he initiates his plan to take the planet back. Let's take a look at that scroll in Revelation chapter 5.
Revelation 5:7. He, Jesus, came and took the scroll from the right hand of him, God the Father, who sat on the throne.
This scroll contains all the wrathful events that God will pour out on the planet during the seven-year tribulation. Once it's opened up, all the wrathful events come gushing forth, all from God, non-stop for the next 7 years. It's all coming from God's hand, from God's throne, from God's direction, as this researcher admits.
In Revelation chapter 5, John is caught up into this vision and says, I saw.
The Almighty has, in this vision, extended his arm, and is holding something on the palm of his hand.
It's a document. It's a scroll.
It's made of papyrus or parchment or animal skin, as ancient scrolls were.
Now this particular scroll that John sees in the vision is written inside, and on the back, and then rolled up and sealed with seven seals, rolled a little bit and sealed, rolled a little more and sealed, rolled a little more and sealed, rolled a little more and sealed. Now this gives us a clue as to what it is. Roman wills were sealed seven times. This is God's last will and testament. This is God holding out the title deed to the universe. This was typical of a contract in the ancient world.
They would write the details of the contract on the inside and then would write a summary of the contract on the outside so that one would know what it was all about.
Here is an official, legal document. It is the title deed, really, to the universe.
And God has the ownership and he is passing it to his heir, to his rightful heir to take possession of what is his. The details of the inside unfold from chapter 6 on. So, this scroll describes the process by which possession of the universe is to be retaken by God through his rightful heir, back from the usurper who took it when paradise was lost in the garden. The scroll then, is the full account of how the rightful heir will take back what is his through severe wrath and judgment.
It is the scroll of doom. It is the scroll of terror. It is the scroll of judgment.
The final monumental act in the heavenly scene is the great culminating act in human history. This is what precipitates all the judgments that precede the second coming described in chapters 6 to 19. The goal of redemption is about to be reached. Paradise is to be regained.
The ungodly are to be destroyed. Christ is coming back.
Satan will be conquered, demons and the devil cast into the lake of fire, and only the righteous will prevail. The Son of Man starts all that, inaugurates all that, initiates all of that, pulls the trigger on all of that, sets it in motion when he reaches over and takes the scroll out of the hand of God. He takes back the universe step by step, seal by seal by seal.
The seventh seal is broken and describes seven trumpet blasts. The seventh trumpet is blown and describes a series of seven bowls. And then Jesus comes at the end of that great unleashing of judgment to establish his kingdom. But it is all set in motion in this one act, the taking of the scroll. It's little wonder that everything in heaven broke loose in praise. The end could be seen in sight.
All heaven bursts forth.
All that God promised is about to take place. All that we've prayed for is about to happen.
So, here's the point. How can you say that only some of the wrathful events contained within this single unified scroll are from God, while the rest are supposed to be from man or Satan? Who gives you the right to split up God's wrath contained within this single unified scroll? It's sealed. It can't be split up. It's a self-contained legal scroll from God. It's the title deed to the universe in the hand of God, coming from God, all about God, belonging to God, instituted from God, started by God, unleashed by God in the very throne room of God, being passed on to the Son of God, containing all his wrath to be poured in the seven-year tribulation as he takes the planet back, not man or Satan. What gives you the right to split it up and attribute any of it to man or Satan? Once that scroll is opened up by Jesus, there's no stopping his wrath. There's no piecing it up. It's all from God, all about God, through and through, gushing forth for the next 7 years. To say this is coming from man or Satan is not only contextually ludicrous, it's blasphemous. Why? Because the whole context of Revelation chapter 5 is all about heaven giving God glory and praise for taking the scroll and opening it up. Judgment day has come. Evil will be vanquished, Satan will finally be bound. All heaven shouts for joy at what God is about to do. See for yourself.
Revelation 5:8-14. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb, who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power, for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped.
And yet, some would have us believe that this praise and worship and glory and honor directed to God for pouring out his wrath during the seven-year tribulation, taking the planet back with the opening of the scroll, should actually be going to man or even Satan. With all due respect, I'll stand off to the side as the lightning bolt gets you. Giving man or Satan the praise and glory and honor that is only due to God is blasphemous. Only the Lamb, only God, is worthy of this distinction, as this person shares.
The question is asked in Revelation chapter 5, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" Neither man nor angels stir. The saints in heaven don't stir. The holy angels don't stir. Who has the right to take the universe back? Who has the power to take it back? Who has that privilege to overthrow the intruder, the interloper, Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of this world, the prince of darkness? Michael was there. He didn't say anything, even though he is a super angel who had contended with Satan over the body of Moses, as Jude tells us. Gabriel was there, as glorious an angel as he was, given the privilege of annunciation as to the birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and then, of course, to Mary, and even to Joseph, most likely. Gabriel was there, but he doesn't speak. And then there were 10,000 times 10,000 angels who were there and they didn't say anything. And thousands of thousands, and the four living creatures were there, those very unique cherubs that surrounded the throne of God, and they didn't say anything. The spirit of Abraham was there, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, Elijah, Elisha, Moses. Job was there. Ezekiel was there. Daniel was there. They didn't say anything. Peter was there. James was there. Even when John was writing this, they were dead. No one to open it, no one to look and examine its contents. No one who had the legal right, no one who had the authority, no one who had the power to execute it effectively, except the Lamb. The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, is the Lion of Judah who will usurp back from the usurper, the universe. Here is the picture of Christ. And he moves to the conflict. He came and took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne.
Man is not worthy of this honor. Satan is certainly not worthy of this honor. Only the Lamb is worthy to open the scroll, to take it and open it and unleash all of God's wrath to be poured out during the seven-year tribulation. In fact, it can't be man or Satan because the very purpose of the scroll is to take back the universe. Is Satan going to defeat himself? Can man fix the planet? No. Only the Lamb was worthy to get the job done, and that's good news. This is not a time for tears, this is a time of glory, and praise and honor, and worship to be given to the Lamb, not man or Satan. And that's what Revelation chapter 5 is all about. Why? Because only Jesus can do what he's about to do. Only he is worthy to give us the ultimate victory, and it all begins with the opening of the seals, as this researcher points out.
John's reaction is really amazing. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 4 he says, "I began to weep greatly, because no one was found worthy to open the book or look into it." W.A. Criswell writes, "These represent the tears of all God's people through all the centuries. Those tears of the Apostle John are the tears of Adam and Eve driven out of the Garden of Eden as they bowed over the first grave, as they watered the dust of the ground with their tears over the silent, still form of their son Abel. Those are the tears of the children of Israel in bondage, as they cried unto God in their affliction and slavery. They are the tears of God's elect through the centuries, as they cried unto heaven. They are the sobs and the tears that have been wrung from the heart and soul of God's people, as they looked on their silent dead, as they stand beside their open graves, as they experience the trials and sufferings of life, heartaches and disappointments indescribable. Such is the curse that sin has laid on God's beautiful creation, and this is the damnation of the hand of him who holds it, that usurper, that interloper, that intruder, that alien, that stranger, that dragon, that serpent, that Satan devil." But John's weeping was not fitting. He shouldn't have wept because of what was about to happen. In Luke 7, verse 11 we see Jesus, "Now as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her he felt compassion for her, and he said to her, 'Do not weep, stop sobbing, it's inappropriate.'" Why was it inappropriate? It was inappropriate because of what Jesus was about to do. "And he came up and touched the coffin, and he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother." Jesus was saying, "Your tears are inappropriate because of what I am about to do." And so, it is with John's tears here in Revelation chapter 5, because of what Jesus Christ was about to do. All we can do is praise him for what he is. The whole created universe is now on the brink of its anticipated glory. Endless blessing, endless honor, endless praise, endless glory, endless worship to God, to Christ. The whole universe chimes in. What a moment! They are all so ecstatic, because it's going to happen. The curse is reversed. And the kingdom comes, and God will reign. The stage is set.
And so now let's turn to that stage that has been set for us, when God pours out his wrath upon this wicked and rebellious planet for 7 years nonstop, the time when he sets in motion the taking back of the planet with his son Jesus' triumphal return, ruling and reigning over all the earth with his beautiful bride, the Church. It all begins in Revelation chapter 6, and the breaking of the seals.